In honor of Wonder Woman coming out last week, we decided to cover a movie where a woman truly kicks ass the entire film in between jazz solos. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking Haywire!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Leg flip, armbar, kick, punch, choke it with the thing. Eagle, what's up? Oh yeah, I think we just basically, that's it, that's our show. We described the entire, oh wait, no, can you do a jazz riff while I do that? Running. Wait, stop every time I punch though. That's the thing, the music cuts out. So,
that's the key to this
ready?
Film.
So ready, do the thing.
Okay, I have to keep my eye on you.
Running, shooting, silent. No, shooting still silent, no gunshots. It's the music's still going usually. And then... Yeah, there you go. We'll work on it. We'll get it.
We didn't rehearse that. That was perfect that in was the first
a,
try.
That was
if you can believe it.
That was a callback to Kung Pao and yeah, to the was. Fist. And the audience got to see how limited my punching skills are when I'm trying to keep it in the frame.
Listen, Ben did a full stretching routine before we started. He did yoga in studio, which
and
was
in my defense.
We didn't know why until just this moment.
Yeah, and in my defense, I was keeping the frame for Instagram framing.
Yep, smart.
That's a thing now.
Smart.
I did a commercial. Yesterday, where I saw on the monitor they had this tiny square, and I was like, "What the hell is that?" They're like, "Oh, we now have to frame for Instagram."
That's silly.
So, like, advertisers now have to think to frame for. So now we're even smaller than the old tube television.
Yeah,
we've and that's
but it's high definition, but in a thumbnail.
It's stupid.
It's yeah.
I mean, not the advertisers for doing it. I understand why they do it.
They must.
But why can't people just flip it and watch it widescreen like it should be?
You know what? We have televisions, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
Yeah.
No? All right.
It's crazy. It's so crazy how the world is. But anyways, you can watch trailers on your phone, and they'll be like a box. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch a trailer on Instagram, and a third of it is cut off.
Listen, that's why I only use
you're
a home
savage.
Phone. I only use a home phone, because I'm sick of the nonsense.
I liked when I posted something. This is completely off topic. But I like when I posted, if you see a movie in IMAX 3D, regular 3D, Dolby or 2D, and then you said, what about
at home in standard definition?
And I said, because I'm not a goddamn savage. I got it venomous.
I want to be inclusive to everyone.
So,
that's all.
Ladies and gentlemen, GMP fans, I saw Wonder Woman last week. I saw it on Thursday, and I saw it again on Monday in IMAX 3D. I personally love the film. I, no shame, cried a few times because I have a 6-month-old daughter, and I was very moved by the fact that my daughter gets to grow up with this already being a reality where there's a movie that empowers women and such a big... That's the thing. Yes, there have been movies like Haywire or Underworld or Resident Evil, but like women have always been kind of relegated to B-movies or still being sexualized in a way when they're the hero. But Wonder Woman's the first time I've seen a hero empowered the entire time and just... badass. And the fact that in the opening scene there's all these Amazons, you've seen it in the trailer, it doesn't spoil anything, the Amazons that come riding in on the horses to fight the soldiers that come to Themyscira, and the arrows and shit, it's just awesome. And it's something that I was really stoked by, and I think it's awesome. I'm gonna go see it again in 70mm.
Holy cow.
Because it's projected on film at Arclight. They're playing it on film, which is a rarity. It was shot on film to give it that classic look and not look so digital. But I think it's an important film. I think it also changes the game for DC, where they've had kind of like these dire, like them or love them or hate them, whatever it is, they've been a little bit dark. And this movie reminded me why you go to a superhero movie, to see somebody who will fight for the common man and woman and who will do things in selfless ways. And just like, man, she has... I don't want to ruin anything for people that haven't seen it, but there's just so many... The No Man's Land scene is like one of the greatest scenes in a superhero movie. Just the reason she fights, and it's so good.
I've heard that scene referenced. I myself haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Not because I hate women, just because I haven't had a chance to get to the theater. But I will say, just somewhat relatedly, I was on Hollywood Boulevard and I saw Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. Not Gal Gadot?
No.
Gadot?
Gadot?
Gadot? I thought it was Gadot.
Sure. Yep.
Gigi.
It wasn't her. It was someone who resembled her.
Yeah.
In full regalia. And then I also shed some tears, but it was unrelated to that experience. So we had similar weeks.
There we go. There we go. Mm-hmm. I full on, and one of our fans on Twitter was like, why didn't you take a selfie reaction of you ugly crying? And so then I reenacted my ugly cry and sent it to him. Because all three superhero movies this year have made me cry, which either means I'm an emotional basket case after having a daughter, or they're just making really damn good movies. Because Logan... Yeah. Was an emotional roller coaster. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 had some great stuff with family and what it means to be family, even if you're not blood related, and some really touching moments. And then Wonder Woman had some great stuff in it that'll make you, you know, that'll make you feel really good.
Yeah.
So go check it out. Anyway, so we decided, we were racking our brains, and I kind of pulled an audible, if that's the term. I don't know sports.
Yeah, no, you nailed it.
Pulled an audible because somebody mentioned Haywire on our Twitter feed, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen that since 2011.
I think not to nitpick, but called an audible.
Called an audible is the phrase
that we're looking for.
So I remember watching it back in 2012 when it came out in theaters, and I remember thinking Gina Carano was like the biggest badass ever, and then seeing her in Fast and Furious 6 and all that stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the cast is outstanding. It's Steven Soderbergh, you got Gina Carano, Michael Fassbender, Ewan McGregor, Bill Paxton, rest in peace, one of the best.
Yep.
Channing Tatum, Antonio Banderas, and Michael Douglas. And this is the first time that I remember seeing Channing Tatum in this and being like, oh, it's the step-up guy. Hate that guy. And now I've seen him in like so many things from like,
why are you so good at things? Sweet, he's the Magic Mike guy. Now that's the reaction.
Magic Mike guy.
Yeah.
It's also Soderbergh. Yep. So Soderbergh has this trend where he finds different professions or lifestyles interesting, and then he forms movies around them. Like, I think Magic Mike came out of this or something else where he was having a conversation with Channing Tatum about how Channing Tatum used to be a male stripper, and he was like, that's interesting, let's make a movie on it. And Gina Carano, he was interested in her being, like, the first major female MMA fighter and being as beautiful as she is, but also as fucking fierce and deadly as she was, and he liked that juxtaposition. I was watching the behind the scenes. So he crafted a movie around that. And in pure Soderbergh fashion, it has kind of a jazzy, out-of-sight like style riff to it where the color palettes change in each location they go to. It's a lot of globetrotting. I personally love this movie. I understand, though, how it's an acquired taste. Mm. It's like watching a French foreign film where she just have like an espionage thriller that's very lo-fi where instead of like politics, she just happens to whoop ass for about 90 seconds every...
Yeah.
10 or 15 minutes or so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was my impression. I remember just being like, holy fuck, this is the first time I've seen an actress who's also a stunt woman doing everything, doing all her own stunts. And they don't have to, the fights are really well shot because they don't have to cut and mask it because it's her beating the Michael Fassbender fight, which we actually are going to show you videos of these fights today and do some live commentaries because they're just so good. But I want to know what you think, Jesse, about it because I know... You've never seen it, right?
So, as it turns out, I have seen it.
Oh.
Going into watching it...
Does your mug smell like quarters?
Let's find out.
Like metal?
You know.
Anyway, sorry. I was just distracted by it like four times now. So you had seen it.
So you clearly have found out that I put quarters in your water before you arrived. So this is embarrassing for everyone.
That's a new technique. Anytime that I force you to watch a movie that you're kind of about, you're like, quarters
in the water while we wait for Ben. It wasn't familiar to me. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the first scene. And I immediately was like, I've definitely seen this movie before.
Uh-huh.
How I described it a little bit earlier was, I feel like it's aggressively okay.
Okay, like, I can see that.
There isn't anything that is like super about it to me.
I can see it, yeah.
And nothing really stood out specifically. I had a few things while I was watching it where I was like... It doesn't feel like it knows what it is necessarily, because you describe the juxtaposition of like the really like rough and raw hand to hand combat with the like jazzy music, and it felt like he had come from Ocean's 11 and was just like, let me use the same soundtrack, but it's not the same vibe of film. No. So it was like, it was a little bit weird to throw that music into it, and then it was also so silent. There was so much dead air. Like, I pulled 12 sound clips, and it was the only dialogue in the movie. but it was just like...
Not true. There's at least...
That's an exaggeration. There was at least one more that you wanted to pull that you didn't.
There's one more where you mentioned Twizzlers.
Yeah, but it was just like... It felt like... It felt like he went into it thinking, exactly what you said, I'm going to make a movie about this fierce woman who we can highlight her natural skills. And then he like set into it and was like, oh, she is deficient here in like the performance aspect.
I think
so
I read on IMDb
pull
that
back as much as
I
we
read
can.
On IMDb that there's two things on IMDb that are conflicting rumors or facts or trivia, whatever, is that one, they adjusted her voice to sound lower. And then another one that the woman who, I forget the actress who was in Sex, Lies, and Videotape, actually dubbed over all of Gina Carano's dialogue.
Really?
That's on the IMDb as trivia, and I've heard that multiple times, but never, it's not 100% confirmed, because both of those are in the trivia, so one has to be
one of them
fake
is,
news. Yeah. One of them is fake news.
It's weird that they adjusted her voice and then dubbed it over.
They're like, ah, still not working.
We didn't quite hit it.
Here's the thing. I appreciate this movie just for being a different take on an action film. I understand how you and other audience members, it got like an 80% by critics and 41% by, or 31% by audience, I can't remember. It was bad. Audience reaction was kind of like, meh. It was just kind of mixed, like, meh, it was okay. Yeah. But for me, I liked that, I just dug the vibe. It had a cool, like I said, a jazzy, like, kind of like, felt like a 70s spy thriller, like, where they're doing all this cool, like, behind-the-scenes things, and then instead of having just kind of a lame monologue payoff to each jazzy montage...
There's a fist fight.
There's a fist fight.
Right.
So it kind of combines my love for art house, non-linear... Well, it's linear. Well, no, I guess it does jump around a little bit. Yeah. Like, non-linear sort of artsy-fartsy films with badass action in a way that I appreciate... But I will say the second time watching it, some scenes got more tedious than when I saw it in theaters. When I saw it in theaters, I was like, I'll go along for the ride. And then the second time, I was like, I can fast forward right now.
Totally.
Because it's just like 3 minutes of them walking.
Of walking. Right.
And like the black and white photo of bad guy number one. They literally call him bad guy number one.
Yeah. And so a couple of things. Like one thing you said to me right before we got going is that like we don't really know what's happening
until the last,
end when they like dump the exposition on us. So that's one problem.
You start to sort of piece it together. I like the fact that you start to piece it together and you're not sure if Michael Douglas is good or bad.
Right.
And I like the fact that, but it gets frustrating in parts because you're like, wait, am I dumb or are they just not telling me?
Right.
And then in the end you realize, oh, they weren't telling me.
They weren't telling me. Yeah. And like all of that is fine. Like none of that bothers me. I sort of like a movie that keeps you guessing and like doesn't reveal everything right away. But I think the audience reacted to it just because the vibe was confusing.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the fact that they like let the fight speak for themselves and didn't do anything to like enhance what was going on and just sort of like kept a camera.
They're
on
brutally
a
quick
fight.
Too.
They're so quick and they're so like I said, raw. I think that's the vibe that was necessary for this particular performer in this particular film. And it was sort of like a weird sprinkling of like, let me get all the A-lists that I can get and give them each like a scene and just to like help boost the movie a little bit.
Because Gina Carano's not really that skilled of an actress. Like she's good at the strong silent type thing.
Right.
But I would argue that a lot of action stars weren't the best until they did more movies.
Totally.
So I think, I don't know, I haven't seen her though. She didn't really stand out as incredible in Deadpool. She looked cool.
Right.
She looked cool in Fast and Furious 6. I think she's great as like the silent badass bodyguard because she's so fucking good at fighting. But here's the thing. I almost would take her not the best acting over something like Salt where it's Angelina Jolie who's stick thin, supposed to be like whooping ass on these dudes, and like literally you can see her bones. And I'm like, come on.
Totally.
Like, that's why I appreciated the fact that she's got some, she's not by any means overweight at all. She's actually just muscular as shit. Like, this is a female action star that I believe could beat the shit out of anybody.
100%, because she was. And like, but the only strange choice for me was that this movie came at the beginning of her career rather than like five movies in.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, and give her a couple opportunities to like feel out what
and
it's,
how do you top this
like.
As Gina Carano? Like, how do you top being in a Soderbergh film with these A-listers and now you're like straight to DVD stuff? So it's like, yeah, it's like winning an Oscar first film and then being in Hallmark movies for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Which I've been in a Hallmark movie, so I'm allowed to say
it's
that.
It's a good experience.
Yeah, you know, it's fun actually. But let's do the first sound clip, which is when Channing Tatum and Gina Carano are in Barcelona and he wants to relax, but they're getting ready for this job where they're going to rescue a whistleblower for a corporation.
Do you want to do the plot? I don't want to step on.
I forgot what we were doing because we
it's been a year and a half since we've podcasted, you guys. This is our first 2019 podcast.
So let's
we're excited
let's do the plot in under 3 minutes. Forgot where we were. All right. So are we ready in the booth?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. In 3, 2, 1. So we start off in a diner where she comes in a hoodie. She's limping a little bit. She sits down. She's relaxing. Mallory Kane, Gina Carano is her name in real life. But anyways, she gets there. Channing Tatum comes in. He's kind of a dick. He's like, you're going to get in the car. You're going to get in the fucking car. Just get in the car. And he's like, I'll just take a coffee. I'm hungover as fuck. And he takes coffee, throws it in her face. There's an epic beatdown. She leaves. She takes this kind of nerdy high school kid.
So one of the nerdy high school kids tries to jump in and like
help save
her, I guess, from Channing Tatum. But so then she takes him and they start driving away. And
she's like, I got to tell you this story.
He's like dressing her wound. And yeah,
as random high school kids know
as
how
you
to
do.
As
like, he keeps it super cool the whole time. He's just like, yeah, I'm in it. Here I am.
Yeah.
but so she starts telling him the whole story. So what basically happens, she's for hire, basically like government agent.
Yeah,
right?
Kenneth, played by Ewan McGregor. Michael Douglas and Antonio Banderas come and want to hire her specifically because Antonio Banderas, we find out, is the one who did the whole wrangling of this. They all want to hire her to do this job in Barcelona where they're going to rescue a whistleblower. And they successfully do that. She beats down this dude. Channing Tatum and her split off. But then she comes home. She's relaxing. Ewan McGregor comes over again and is like, we have one more job for you.
Right. And so that is to be Michael Fassbender's trophy wife.
Yeah, trophy basically. Wife. Yeah. She's like, I don't play eye candy.
Yeah, but she does. And they go. She meets Michael Fassbender. She, like, investigates him while he's in the shower, realizes he's probably up to no good.
I don't really understand what she does there.
It's unclear.
But
she like tracks his phone.
Yeah.
But then he plants her jewelry on the dead whistleblower.
Yep.
And they're setting her up to take the fall for this. Mm-hmm. So then they get back to the hotel. They fight each other. She kills Michael Fassbender.
Cinema history.
It's pretty sweet. And so she gets out of there understanding that she's being set up. So she calls Ewan McGregor and realizes that Ewan McGregor isn't on it. Mm-hmm. And then she tries to head to her dad's house.
Oh, before then, though, there's an awesome fight with the SWAT team that show up in every building she goes into, no matter, somehow they surround every building in this entire area. She beats him down in, I think, 32 seconds. I'm pretty sure that's how quick
we'll
it is.
We'll find out soon.
And then she ends up at her dad's house making a plan to cut the power and have him play dumb when Ewan McGregor and Channing Tatum come over, and to keep bringing up Barcelona because Channing Tatum's an innocent bystander in this. He doesn't know that the whistleblower is dead. So then Ewan McGregor, Channing Tatum come with a couple other random dudes that don't have any lines, and he starts toying with them, and Channing Tatum starts getting pissed, and then Gina Carano kicks the shit out of the other two dudes, and then Ewan McGregor leaves, but not before shooting Channing Tatum in the gut.
Yep.
And you want to take it from here?
Oh,
why not?
Boy.
Do it! Yeah!
Oh, boy. and then
the beach fight scene.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor goes off and hides, and then he walks to the beach, and we don't know why.
Super
and
romantic
scene. She runs out of nowhere, and then she tackles Ewan McGregor. He gets caught in a rock. He tells her everything that happened.
Antonio Banderas set it up because he wanted
and
this
so
whistleblower to be auctioned
presumably
off, and Kenneth wanted her dead.
The tide comes in and kills him, and then Antonio Banderas opens the door
and
he's
goes,
dead.
Shit.
Yep.
And then he's dead. Shit.
We all assume
right. So. There we go. So, let's get into this. Let's get into sound clip number one, which I was about to do, which, like I said, was Channing Tatum and Gina Carano. Good job. Good job on that, man.
Yeah, thank you.
You actually remembered almost every detail of that movie.
Almost.
So for thinking it was aggressively okay, it really stuck with you.
Well, it was the second time I'd seen it, so imprinted into my memory now.
So the Barcelona job's happening, and Channing Tatum wants her to relax, and this is what she says. Clip number one, please.
Is this your idea of relaxing? Wine and gun maintenance?
You know, that's actually I don't want to go in. I was going to say some political joke that would totally get me in trouble. That's Ted Nugent's idea of relaxing.
No, absolutely.
Actually.
Absolutely.
It's actually Bud Light and gun maintenance is what Ted Nugent's. Nothing that there's anything wrong with Bud Light. He's just not a wine guy.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, he likes a lighter.
You look at Ted Nugent. You think he drinks wine?
No.
No.
Lighter brew. He's into the lighter brew.
That's how he is. The champagne of beers. Yeah.
I think that's MGD. But
that's, oh, yeah, that's MGD. That's,
but, you know.
You know.
Bud Light is the Prosecco of beers.
There we
I
go.
Think that's what their their slogan is. You know what's crazy? I walked in on my wife the other day, and she was sipping a glass of wine, and she had a dumbbell in her other arm, and she was just going to town flexing.
On her guns.
On her guns, and I walked in, and I was like,
is this your idea of relaxing? Wine and gun maintenance?
You know, while we're on it, I kind of want to play the bonus clip.
Yeah,
just
might as well.
Just see if you can place this part of the movie. Can you play that real quick, the bonus clip? Do we know the
bonus
clip
sound
number
clip?
13?
Damn, man, I should have trusted you.
I mean, who?
So
it's uncanny.
It's uncanny
who
the similarities.
We have a question for you, audience. Is that Channing Tatum or our dear friend Jesse McIntosh?
Let's play it again. Let's hear it one more time. Damn, man, I should have trusted you.
I mean, who knows?
You know what I mean?
Who knows? Who knows?
It's very unclear.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
Yeah.
Can you do your best Channing Tatum impression right now?
From that particular clip that we just heard?
Or yeah. From that particular clip of Channing Tatum.
Of Channing Tatum that we just heard?
Yeah.
Damn, man. We should have trusted you.
It sounds exactly the same.
What?
Was that Channing or is this Channing?
Who knows?
Is Channing in the booth right now?
Channing in the building.
Oh, my God. So ridiculous. So then we don't need to go over the plot too much. There's this jazzy riff where they go to Barcelona and they find the guy, the whistleblower, and they clock when the dude leaves and they go there to rescue him. And Channing Tatum gets stuck behind a trash truck, which doesn't really delay anything per se.
No.
But the dude comes back and starts opening fire in the middle. For being like discreet, they just start opening fire. And she always carries whatever kind of gun this is, like the mini machine gun.
Yeah.
Which is not discreet, you know. And also, it's if you open fire with that, there's heavy chance of civilian casualty.
Yeah, you're probably going to spray.
Nobody gives
with
a shit,
one.
Though. They're all just like, oh, one dude shooting, here we go.
Well,
anyways,
sort of, that's the beauty of not working for the government is you don't have to worry about
your private sector
foreign casualties. Yeah.
So then she goes and chases after him, and we actually have this. Can we play the video for fight scene number one for the audience? We're going to do a little. We're going to talk about this as we go. Here we go. I think this is the right one.
Ooh.
Wait. Oh no! Shit! This is Channing's fight. We missed this one. This is so good. Keep playing it though. Coffee to the face.
So
ketchup bottle to the head. Get in the car. Oh, Jesus.
So there's a lot of, like...
She takes a fork.
Aggressively punching male, punching female in this film.
Jesus.
So you can sort
and
of see why
high school dude kid. Comes in and goes, hey, stop it, man. Come on, stop it. Hey. Oh.
Ooh. The high school kid...
Oh, then the waitress. The waitress comes in with the left hook with the coffee pot. Gina Carano kicks the knee.
And where's
goes
the high
around.
School kid? The high school kid
just
like abandoned his space on
oh,
the ground.
Oh, almost shoots her in the face. That's a low blow, even for Channing. She grabs him, puts him in an arm bar, hits him in the gut. Oh, presumably breaks his arm.
Oh, it was in a cast later, so it's at least.
Oh, head to the to the stool, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't mean poop. Stupid. Oh, all right. Well, that was a doozy. It's the last time I go to Denny's.
Someone should have said that.
It would have been amazing. You know what? I just want to see that opening sequence again real quick because it's fucking brutal and comes out of nowhere, this coffee to the face. Watch this again. Thanks for the coffee, man. I appreciate it. All right.
You got any?
Then a ketchup bottle. It's fucking brutal. All right, we don't need to... I mean, it is only like... The best thing about these fight scenes are... They feel really realistic in how long they would go on.
Yeah.
Like how long bodies could actually take these hits. Yeah, but high school... If Channing's whooping so much ass, how come high school kid remotely gets a head?
So here's my thing.
I love that the whole town joins in.
Here's my thing with the high school kid is he's like doing a pretty good job, but he gets completely thrown out of the picture when Channing Tatum falls. Like, so he's just sort of...
And then he's I think maybe it's as soon as the gun comes out. He's like, fuck it, never mind, I'm in over my head. You know, I had a similar experience at a IHOP once. This is a God's honest true story. Where I was in an I was in an IHOP once, and over in West Hollywood actually, and there were these two old guys, and this one kind of like scrawny old
name
dude.
Them.
Well, let's go with Charles and Lester.
Yep, I know them.
Chuck, he goes by Chuck.
Chuck,
though.
Yeah, sure
so
does.
So Lester, the skinny guy, we're just sure his name's Lester. He's getting shitty with the waitress, and the waitress like starts crying. Legit, this is a real story. Starts crying. So this big like looks like he's a retired Hell's Angel dude. Goes up to him and says, "The fuck's your problem? What are you can't talk to her like that." And I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude." And then the guy, he like gets in his face. Lester just gets kind of like this. Chuck is what we'll call him.
Yep.
He walks away. And then Lester takes a fucking butter knife and goes, "I'll shove this knife up your ass." And then the dude gets back up, lifts up his shirt, reveals like an old man beer belly, slaps his stomach and goes, "You won't do shit." And then sits back down. And all of us are like, if these two weren't geriatrics, this would have been a terrifying moment of potential stabbing.
Also, does Chuck know where his ass is? Chuck is old enough to know that the
Chuck
ass is not in front.
That's a legit story where all of us were like, I mean, they're just two old guys. Are they really going to do anything?
Oh, that's
but then
crazy.
It was like, it was so not, I'm going to shove this up your ass about a butter knife. It was like,
wow.
Holy fuck. So weird. So anyways, that's an awesome fight scene. Now let's go to fight scene number two that we have. Do we have that one queued up? Yeah. This one is the one I was talking about where she chases this guy down and then whoops his ass in, I think, 90 seconds. We'll do a color commentary again.
All right. So she's running.
She's running. She has great cardio. Gina Carano has been working on her cardio. Meanwhile, bad guy number one is starting to falter. They run. Hits her with a tray of spoons and forks. Oh, with a heavy dishpan. Look at that. Scaling the wall. Choking him out from behind. Oh. Yep, nope. He can't even get a hit. Jesus! With the elbow and then the hook, then the kick.
I love the jump off the wall to kick him.
I mean, come on!
To build momentum.
That was maybe 30 seconds.
And then this is great. Just to finish him off with...
Finish him!
With the door.
Carano wins. What would that be called? Humility. She gave bad guy one humility. That's what that was. I love it because even though the fight scenes are brief, they're impactful, they're shot well, and when they're done, you're like, fuck, I could watch that like 17 more times.
And you can see them.
You can see everything.
Like, that's such a key to fight scenes.
For any of its okayness for you, I think we can both agree that we wish more modern cinema you could see what the fuck is going on.
Right.
It's so frustrating. The new Resident Evil movie is like a... It's like... There was a review that says it looks like the cinematographer filmed this in a hurricane... while an earthquake was happening on a unicycle or something to that effect.
That person deserves an award for braving the elements.
They did a great job.
Jesus Christ. No, but like definitely. And in my description, I like the highlight of the movie are the fist fights.
Oh, yeah.
Like I wish that they had taken the essence of what they did in those fights and like bled it into the rest of the movie.
So then we skip ahead a little bit. She goes home. Kenneth Ewan McGregor comes over and is like, "I need one more job." And she's like, she gets upset because he wants her to be eye candy. So we can play clip number two, sound clip number two.
This is your pitch. You want me to be eye candy? MI6 wants me to be eye candy.
You know, that's insulting.
It's insulting.
If you know, the whole thing, the thing that they do really well in this movie is, and they even say it in a sound clip later, because when you're watching this, your first reaction is, that dude's being really brutal to a woman.
Right.
But then, let's actually play clip number 12, because it sums up how we should view this movie.
Well, you shouldn't think of her as being a woman. No, that would be a mistake.
Because this movie changes the game as to how women are portrayed in cinema as a whole. It's like, because normally it's like, and it is even, as an audience member, you're like, fuck, he's like hitting her in the face with this and this. And then when you see her fight back, you're like, she can handle herself and then some. She could whoop the ass of everyone I know.
Yeah.
Probably at the same time.
Yep.
And it's just, it's so fucking cool. It's cool to see that represented.
Especially because everyone I know is a high school student. And we already saw her take a, no. No, but definitely like it's.
You do a lot of math tutoring. Yeah, that's why. Right. You're not just hanging at Fairfax High.
Not usually. Not when it's not lunchtime. I'm not.
Free lunch. They got great free lunches at Fairfax High. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look very young. You just show up. You're like, yeah, Pizza Tuesdays. I'm here for Pizza Tuesday.
I got a voucher.
Okay, what are you saying?
I don't even know. No, but I almost wish that it was as effective at the end, but I almost wish for like my sanity and like the sake of my comfort level while watching that they had put this right up front.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
'Cause like this is the director basically saying like, anyone can do this job, and this is about the job. This isn't about the person who does it.
It's not about the gender or anything
right.
like that.
Right, this job is blind, just like you are good at your
job.
It
would have been good to have that in the beginning.
Yeah, rather than like
at the very end where you're like, oh, so all that was okay?
Because like legit, the first thing we see is that Channing Tatum fight where he just like...
throws coffee in her face.
Takes three roundhouse punches to her face with no defense.
I mean, the worst is the hot coffee to the face.
Yeah, before he even
followed
sips
by a ketchup. I mean, come on, at least make sure it's lukewarm.
At least caffeinate before you get into a fight
with
a trained assassin.
Time.
Oh boy.
So let's go on to the next fight, which is Michael Fassbender.
So this is the other one that's like particularly brutal.
Oh my god! But it's brutal.
She
to
takes
both.
Some licks.
Where like, I mean, and Fassbender was down to like. When I was watching the behind the scenes, he was getting hit pretty hard in certain sections of this, and you can tell. But before that, actually, sorry, let's play clip number three, which is there's a little bit of build up to the fight scene. So I want to play the few sound clips that build up to it. Can we play clip number three, please?
Mind if I freshen up first? Presumably, you'll need more time.
Presumably, you'll need more time. What a dick.
An asshole.
No. She needs more time to bug your phone and then completely whoop your ass later on.
My favorite part about her bugging the phone is, like, she puts the GPS in, and then she automatically has, like, building schematics where she can tell, like, precisely where in the building his phone is.
I love that. I love that stuff whenever that happens in movies where it's like, no computer program looks like that. let's play clip number four. I just want to build up to the fight.
Can you zip me?
You know?
Yeah.
So she's a little sexy.
She's putting
on the eye candy.
She's playing the game.
She plays the game a little bit. I don't want to do the improv riff because I'd rather get to the clip. And I think clip number five is another one leading up to it. Babysitting?
Yeah.
I hate babysitting jobs.
You know, it's interesting. My first few jobs growing up as a kid were babysitting jobs. And I remember this kid named Eric, sweet kid, but he would watch Angels in the Outfield over and over again. And I loved that movie when it first came out. But watching it 16 times... On the 16th time, I was just like...
Clip up.
I hate babysitting jobs.
And, you know, I took a long pause because I was being really reflective about what life choices I wanted to make from here on out, you know?
So I, like, forgetting the fact that I spend a lot of time at Fairfax High, this is... this whole podcast is going to be a little damning on my free time. But I, I also do, from time to time, some things online for a little extra money.
Yeah.
So I got a webcam set up and I'll take requests.
Yeah.
And there are some really weird people out there, and someone will once a week ask me just to sit on a baby.
Sit on a baby.
Yeah, so I don't have a real baby, I have a doll baby. But it's so uncomfortable for me. So every time he puts in the request, I'm like,
I hate babysitting jobs.
It's because they're the worst.
I loved how you almost pulled a me where you almost bailed on your own joke and then you kept going. And
no,
you know what? I commend you for that.
Why bail?
I commend you for that.
Yeah.
The other day after my wife came home from being gone for a while and I had been hanging out with our daughter, I looked at her and I was all frazzled and I was like...
I hate babysitting jobs.
She's like, she's your daughter? You're not babysitting your daughter.
You're being a dad.
And I was like, yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. Sorry. I just had...
No, I'm glad her mom's home.
Here. I have accidentally said babysitting a few times where I'm like, I gotta babysit tomorrow. And I was like, no, that's my own kid. You don't babysit your own kid.
Just being a regular dad.
So let's play the Fassbender fight real quick. Real quick, it's like 90 seconds.
But
this is my favorite fight in the entire fucking movie. And this might be in my top 10 fights of all time in cinema because it's so brutal and it's so badass.
If you're listening on audio, pause the podcast, check out YouTube.
Check out this fight.
Or just check out.
I'm just going to let it play because I don't even want to. Well, I'll talk about it. Fuck it. Here, let's hit play. So they walk in after a nice evening. Oh, punch to the back of the neck, then head to the wall. This is for those of you just listening. Oh! Lamp's falling over. That's an expensive lamp. Quick, pick it up. Tosses her. That's really.
Oh, he shouldn't have tossed her. He should have.
No,
he
should have kept
maintained
token.
Contact.
Punch of the. Damn! That looks like it really connected.
Right.
And then, of course, if there's glass around, you just gotta slam each other into it. So we're coming over there. We're gonna kick in.
Not, she's great with leverage.
Yep.
Like,
she
using,
always. Yeah.
Using surfaces to.
Damn.
Jesus.
And then the vase. Here we go. She's gonna hit him in the elbow to the face. And then here we come. Grabs the vase. Crack. I don't care if that's breakaway. That was literally Fassbender. I saw it in the behind the scenes. She chucked him over the fucking table like that.
Yeah, so normally if that table would have been a glass table and he would have fallen through.
Yeah.
But they're so focused on the fighting that they didn't even care. They were just like, let's keep it going.
Jeez, I can't even follow. I can't even comment on how fast they're going with this. Choking her out. Choking him out. Oh, then he's picking her up again. Bad idea. She's MMA, dude. Come on. You never do this. It's got kind of almost like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like, sexy vibe to it until they start thrashing each other again.
Yeah.
This is the longest fight in the movie, and it's still only probably 2 minutes. Oh, this right here. Fucking rocks him right here. Kick to the face. Another.
Look, I don't want to tell her how to do her job, but she should have broken his arm.
Oh, come on! Kick him through the glass door? So good. So good. Man, he's just stunned.
You're in way over your head.
You're in way over your head.
It's through. You've been out of control.
It's this ending's right. Fucking brutal. He goes for the gun under the bed. Nope, not happening. Oh, come on. That was a new TV. They just upgraded from tube televisions. You guys, respect the property. Jesus. Again, would have been nice to know in the beginning. Don't think of, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. It's a little, what was the character in GoldenEye, I think, Pussy Galore or something, mm-hmm. or where she chokes him out in the beginning in the sex scene. That's what this reminds me of. Is he dead? No, not yet. Not yet. But he's sure fall. Oh, Jesus. I love that dazed kind of dopey look. Fassbender can do no wrong. He's incredible. And then this, just like, no hesitation, no waiting, just, yep, that's it.
Through the pillow.
That's it. Fuck, that's so good. We can't watch it again because it's a little too long, but
too
how
long.
Awesome is that fight scene?
Yeah.
When I first saw that, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen something that just raw and brutal
mm-hmm.
and until I saw, like, The Raid Redemption, and then that movie has super raw fights. But, like, for an American film, that's one of the craziest fights where I legitimately am worried for the actors involved.
Yeah.
And Fassbender, they were saying, didn't have a stuntman. He did all his own stunts, and obviously Gina Carano did all
Show
her
off.
Own stunts. But Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so you were saying that, like, you always felt like they were the appropriate length of like, how much a human being could take. Like, that was the one where in the middle of it, I was like, they have strong chins.
Yeah.
Like, they are really taking
shots.
But
they're both, like, super fucking brutal killers.
Oh, totally.
So.
But it was, it was just, like, a whole lot of punches to the face.
Yeah.
But it was a tremendous...
glass to the face.
Tremendous choreography.
My favorite is when she kicks him in the face... twice and then through the glass door. Oh,
yeah.
It's so fucking good. So let's what's K Paso? What's that sound clip?
That's just Michael Douglas being quasi offensive.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Rodrigo, K Paso.
I've had moments like that.
Yeah.
Where I'm like in the past when I was dumb, I would start thinking. I've always debated if, like, I should at like a Mexican restaurant, if I should, like, say gracias or if I should just say thank you. And so when I first moved out here, I definitely overcompensated and tried to really up the high school Spanish. And then I felt like I looked like I was just trying too hard.
Yeah, you did.
And then potentially being accidental racist. So now I just go back to thank you.
Right. Well, so here's the thing. If you can, like, speak and have a conversation, then do it.
Otherwise,
but if all you can say is, like, gracias.
Gracias. ¿Dónde está el baño?
Right.
And they're like, oh, but, and I'm like, sorry, where's the bathroom?
Right.
And
yeah. If you can, like, do it all the way, then do it. But if you're just, like, half-assing it, then it's
probably quasi-offensive. And I learned at a young age. I also thought La Jolla was La Jolla when I first moved out here.
Nice.
So, and the first time I ever ate a tamale, I didn't know I had. I took off the out like paper layer, but I didn't know you had to take off the husk. I bit into the husk.
It's like a burrito.
Yeah, that's what happens when Mexican food in Ohio is Taco Bell. You know.
You know
what? Why don't they have chalupas on this menu here?
It's absurd. They should. They're delicious. But so I was describing that exact thing to my parents when I came home after went home for the holidays.
Yeah.
And I was like saying something similar, like the pronunciation of the different cities. And I was like, and they were like, you mean like Los Angeles? And I was like, oh, right.
All right.
All right. That's a Spanish word. Or, everyone just says Los Angeles.
Or Los Feliz is Los. It should be Los Feliz.
Los Feliz.
Yep. Yep. Oh, man. Oh, we forgot to.
Paso.
We forgot to play. Que paso, Rodrigo. Should we play? We got to play clip number 6. So this is after she shoots Michael Fassbender in the face and his phone rings. And this is one of my favorite bad guy cliches in action movies where they get so excited that they know that the person's dead that they don't wait for the person to answer.
Right.
They're just like, ooh, it's silence. It must be you. Hey, what happened?
When was the last time you called someone and the phone picked up and didn't say anything and you just like went into your thing?
Yeah. The other day when I called you and I was like, hey, Jesse, so we're going to do Haywire. And you're like... This isn't Jesse.
This is Channing Tatum.
This is wait. Yeah, there we go. Well, clip number 6, please. Sound clip number 6.
So, is the divorce final?
Such a, like, cocky, fucking stupid thing to say, you know?
Especially, like, because we find out later that he had his concerns.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He should have been a little bit like...
It wasn't a sure thing that this was going to go down.
Hey, who is this? Right. Hi, this is Kenneth. Who is this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe wait to receive a call would have been a good move out of Ewan McGregor.
Why do they always call first?
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I'll bet it's done.
Yeah.
I'll bet it's done by now.
And he had like a fucking timer on it because as soon as he was shot, the phone rang.
That's always the best. Yeah. The timing in movies where it's like, that would never happen.
What if they were delayed at that mansion? It would have been like on the way back.
Yeah. So that's where she found out that the whistleblower's dead and that Fassbender was framing her. The whole thing is that Rodrigo put together Kenneth wanted to auction off the whistleblower, but he also was pissed that Mallory wanted to quit and go with somebody else to another private sector because she wasn't getting paid as much. The ship was going down, as she says it. And so he managed with Stieber, whatever the hell his name is, the guy that they meet at the party, he arranged with him to auction off the whistleblower to him and then kill off the whistleblower and then plant the brooch because, of course... Mallory would kill the guy and then leave this giant fucking brooch on him in his lapel.
Wasn't it in his hand?
It was something ridiculous. Like, it was like, okay.
Yeah, that doesn't look
planted. She's a hired killer, but she wouldn't remember a brooch, and it happened to be the brooch that they gave her to wear that was caught on security cameras.
And that she then changed out of.
Yeah, it's a dubious plot point. And that no one at the party saw her with that brooch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the whole thing was that Kenneth was going to get her killed and get the money for auctioning off this guy. And Michael Douglas was just the government man who was hiring these private sector people. And then at the end, he offers her a job at the government. And she's like, I'll think about it. So maybe we'll get a Haywire, too.
Nice.
Who knows?
Nice.
Haywired?
Maybe. Haywiring?
So she finds out Kenneth's the
dickhead. Set up a third? Haywiring?
The dickhead. They do the whole fight scene at the house where that one's kind of lackluster for me a little bit, where she fights the dudes in the dark and because she has all this like commando paint on. So I'm like, this is going to be fucking awesome. She kills the power. It's okay.
She also braided her hair she's like on the run and braiding her hair.
Yeah. You know, just so it doesn't get in the
way.
Keep
it tight.
Keeping it tight.
Yeah.
So she finds all of this stuff. Then she tracks Ewan McGregor down somehow on the beach and the only version of this clip I could find is a black and white one with hilarious classical music that's not in the movie.
Nice.
But the scene already looks very romantic. So this makes it like a perfume commercial. It's a spoof somebody made. But it's the legit fight scene. Just imagine it in full color without this weird classical music, but it's the only way I could find it. But my favorite part of this is how she comes running up out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Just watch. So let's play this. Just hanging on the beach.
What's he doing on the beach anyway?
You know, I'm just relaxing after all the craziness and all the deception.
Thinking about life.
I fucking love the ocean. Just so relaxing. Hey, what the fuck? She just came out of nowhere.
Thinking about my
Shit! Tackles him into the water. And just like, oh man, my first reaction, if I'm Kenneth, is to just fucking run.
Is to run away.
Just to run. And then get ready, because his second reaction is going to be, yep, I'm going to run again.
Oh,
nope, I'll stop. Look at how beautifully this is shot, though. Come on, this is like...
That sun's going down.
It's fucking gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
It's like we're watching like two lovers say goodbye to each other. They just happen to want to kill each other. And then I love how it's backlit. My favorite part's coming up where he tries to run up the rock. You'll see. Well, I gotta get out of here. Wait, almost. Oh, it's so beautiful.
He's not a fighter. He's, you know, there's somebody he's taking, a contractor.
There's somebody taking wedding photos down the way. They're like, oh, here, you gotta move this way so we don't frame in these two people trying to murder each other.
Like two 15-year-olds trying to make out.
Come on, guys. get it on. Here's what he does. He tries to... Where's he gonna go? there's nowhere to go.
I hope they let him improv this.
So good. And then just like, just beating the shit out of him. And then he ends up doing himself in by again trying to run away like a giant puss. And then he gets caught in a rock.
He gets caught in a rock, but his foot is the opposite way. So he got like, mangled.
It looks like he got caught, then the rocks folded on top of it. Because how did his foot fit in that way?
I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense. But presumably he's dead. We only have a few minutes left. So,
I did want to definitely get to.
Do we have a few minutes in the booth if we go over or no? Let me know. Okay. Do you have a few minutes?
I got. Yeah, we got 5 minutes. Let's do five
more minutes.
But I definitely want to hear sound clip number 10.
Oh shit! We skipped a bunch.
Because this is the sound clip that drew me to watch the movie in the first place.
Yeah. This is when she calls Kenneth.
Yeah.
And he's in
Kenneth
the house.
Is in the father's house.
Yep.
And she calls him. And she says this.
You can tell me right now why you sold me out and what you're into with Studer, or you can tell me in 10 minutes when I have my hands around your throat.
So, fuck. We forgot to mention the world's slowest car chase through the woods in the snow.
Yeah.
Where he, right after the young teenager gets done saying, hey, you're a really good driver, a deer smashes in
the
car.
They back into a deer.
Somehow. And can we play clip number 8?
Oh my god, there's a deer in the car.
Oh my god, there's a deer in the car. As you would react. If you would, he just bought this car.
Yeah.
He was afraid of scratches, and then the next worst thing is, oh my god, there's a deer in the car.
Oh my god.
It's so good. His character is so useless. He does a fine job, but he's useless. Let's play clip number 9 since we're running out of time.
Look, an innocent civilian will be killed if you do not listen to me.
Wonder Woman, you said your piece. Now sit back and shut up.
This is actually the prequel to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Gina Carano, at one point, people were like trying to vote for her to be Wonder Woman.
Interesting.
I think she'd be badass, but I think
they made a good decision.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Yeah. Her acting in Wonder Woman's
great. I personally thought the woman who I ran into on Hollywood Boulevard would have done a fantastic job not having had seen the film.
Can we play clip number 11? This is when... and also, by the way, Ewan McGregor, after she kills everybody in the house... just kind of hangs at the bottom and looks up for a while.
Well.
Hoping that she doesn't see him?
I guess. He made some questionable decisions throughout
the movie.
Mainly
just running away and trying to climb up a rock.
Right.
Can we play clip number 11?
You better run.
Well, she says that to no one.
You know, that's how my track coach in high school, she used to kind of like get us going by that. Like just kind of, it was weirdly seductive, but also tough.
Mm.
And it just really worked with teenage boys.
Yeah.
So she just, you know, we'd get there up at the starting line.
Yeah.
That's what you call it.
Yep.
Yeah. And she would just look at us and go,
you better run.
That was fake news. I've never run track before, guys. That was an alternative fact.
So I've heard that, you know, after the election, Hillary Clinton sort of disappeared for a while and, like, took some her time.
Her time, yeah.
But from what I understand, she has above her mirror 2020, a sign that says 2020, and she touches it every morning, and she looks straight into the mirror, and she says,
you better run.
So good. So good. I think we forgot one fight scene. So since we have like 30 seconds left, let's go back to that fight scene where, it was number 3, I think. We didn't do the cops one.
No.
Can we find number 3 that I sent you? I know, I'm totally just throwing us under the bus here as we have. Second. Here we go. Yes, this one is so good. So the SWAT team just show up in every building she's running. She's running across all these rooftops in jazzy format. Then she goes into a dry cleaner, as you would, and watch her dismantle these two heavily trained SWAT team members in 30 seconds. Yep. Yep. Here comes my favorite. Strangles him with his own gun. Just whoops him down. Yep. Jesus.
Good Lord. These people have helmets on, and she's just taking free
roundhouse
shots.
Roundhouse kick to the face, and then there's that jazzy riff. There we go.
So I have found the key to fighting two people is to disable one of them just long enough to be able to disable the other, then just go
and
back and
you
forth.
You get into a lot of two versus one fights.
Two-on-one fights. It's sort of
you're super tough,
my
man.
MO.
Yeah. My MO is running up rocks nearby like Ewan McGregor. That's what I do. I just look for the nearest unclimbable rock, and I go for it.
The closest sheer surface.
Yeah. I just keep slipping off of it. Yeah. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, GMP fans around the world, we've been talking Haywire this week. We hope you liked our random format of showing you the fight scenes, because it's just better to show these than to talk about
them. This one it worked.
And
yeah.
I'd love to know what you thought about Haywire. Do you think Gina Carano would make a good Wonder Woman? What'd you think of Wonder Woman? Please geek out with me about that, because I'm obsessed with that, and my wife is really tired of hearing me talk about it. We don't know what we're doing yet, next week yet, but I'm going to let Jesse pick it because I have forced him to watch several movies now. But
it's going to be a movie.
It's going to be a movie. Jesse, where
Stay
can they
tuned.
Find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TooMuchJesse. For sketch, check us out at The Prom Losers.
All right, you can find me at The Ben Begley on the Instagram and the Twitter sphere. And at Guilty Movie Guys is us, so follow us. We paid for another 35 bots, so those should start being real active soon. We have less bots than the president, though. Heyo! And also, at Funhouse for Funhouse Massacre, you can check that out on Showtime On Demand now. And we got some other cool stuff in the mix coming out. A few short films that are in post-production now, so I'm excited to share those with you very soon. Star Wars Destroyer is out there as well. But mainly, next time, make sure you follow us at Guilty Movie Guys. We're going to tell you what movie we're going to do and also start throwing some ideas at us. We love your ideas. We love taking your suggestions and rolling with them. There's been some great ones lately. And I'm just petering out here. I have nothing else to say. So until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.